Welcome to another episode of the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
I'm Robert Trawick.
We're here with James Pratt on Zoom.
Hey, guys. How are we going?
Doing great. How are you doing? You're looking quite healthy again. You've just been running today.
Oh, yeah. I've been around every day, just about. Trying to beat the boogeyman.
You're a beast. You're a beast, man.
Yeah, he's a beast. That's the way to do social distancing, is to run fast like James Pratt.
Yeah, you have to catch him. Not fast, but he run a lot.
So James has a project that he worked on, and he wants to, we're going to share his screen. He's going to talk about the experience and all the steps it took, and he only had a couple hours to get it done.
Yeah, so. I thought we'd talk about, I did a photo shoot. I do a magazine I work with all the time, Oklahoma Living, and they're the largest, most widely circulated magazine in Oklahoma. They go to 330,000 homes across the state, and mostly rural areas. And they, I've done work for them for years. And we just did a recent photo shoot I did in about 2 months ago, and it just published in April 1st. So if you'll see it, it's been out. And so I thought it was an interesting shoot. I thought I'd share the photos and most importantly, share kind of the series of how, I got to talk about the assignment, how I got it. And then when I got there, what they told me, and then how I proceeded through to get the photos. And I thought you'd walk you through in Lightroom kind of the separate, how I shot the photos, how I switched to different setups so I could get a wide variety of looks, and then show it to the end what the magazine looks like, what photos they actually chose. So it'll give you a little bit of inside information on how an editorial photo shoot works.
Okay.
Well, that's actually awesome, because when James Pratt, we were talking offline a couple of weeks ago, probably not even that long, it was interesting because Jim and I were looking at new topics for the upcoming months during this coronavirus shutdown. And Jim said, "Hey, I want to show you guys this editorial I did." I thought,
there you go.
Didn't turn my phone on silent. Off this month, which is April with editorial, we have James this week. Next week, we're going to have Don Reese and Ryan
West.
Then at the end, if we're lucky, we're going to have Melissa Rodwell.
She's a fashion photographer.
Last name. Yeah. She's a fashion photographer in New York that runs Alice Magazine.
Yeah, she's, I was going to say that.
So good. So I'm going to mute my phone, and I'm going to be taking some notes. So yours. Oh, yeah, we'll ask some questions.
Okay, all right.
So ahead, do your thing.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is share my screen. First off, let me tell you this assignment. I do a lot for the magazine. And this assignment was for a gentleman. He is in his 80s, and he was born with cerebral palsy at three. Well, he wasn't born with it. He just got it at 3 years old. And but he wanted to be a farmer all his life, and he ended up deciding to continue and be a farmer and made it work despite his handicaps. And so the story was for me to go down there and photograph him for a cover. So the assignment was a cover shot, which is, it's got to be vertical. And so my main goal was to get a vertical shot for the cover. That's the number one goal of everything you do. If you don't come back with any other photos, you've got to come back with a good cover shot. And everything else is secondary. But, of course, I wanted to be able to tell the story of who this guy was and what he did to match with the writing. I didn't do the writing on this one. I just did the story. So before I went down there, I had the writer send me a draft copy of the story so I could understand who I'm photographing and kind of what the story's about. And then I called the writer and asked him a few questions. And then we scheduled the meet. And when I went down there, I only had 2 hours to do these photos. Well, for an editorial shot with your editor, it's really important for your editor to give them a lot of different looks. You can't go down there and take the same photo over and over and over. They don't need 50 shots of the same darn thing or 100 shots of the same thing. You've got to give them a variety of looks so they can use different pieces, completely different setups in the magazine to help tell that story. And I didn't, it's really nice when I have a day to go out and spend with I do a lot of electrical linemen or with a dairy farm. If I can go out and spend the day with them and see what they do and how they work, it's really nice because you can take different parts of their day and photograph. But in this case, the gentleman, he was really more retired, and he's in his 80s. And so it's more about what he used to do, not what the story is, not about what he does now. And so, so instead, it's more of an environmental portrait is what I'm taking. So you guys are awfully quiet. I just see Robert laughing, and I don't hear nothing.
So I'm gonna throw a pitch in now, Leah. What's your new business now?
Awesome Possum.
Awesome what?
Awesome Possum Pet Salon. Hey.
Awesome Possum?
Yeah, P-A-W.
So Awesome Possum, Leah, is my groomer. And besides, she's a fabulous model, but she actually popped in to trim the nails on my puppies. And Lily Bell is just not having it. She was sleeping and she's going to town. But one thing I want to talk to you about, so I know that, you know, in preparation for this, you did everything you could to prepare for the shot. And you wanted to get that one cover shot, giving room for the masthead, the overlays, that kind of thing. So when you do these, do you have a basic kit that you use when you're out, and then based on what the writer is talking about, or maybe which way the story's going to go, you might throw in an extra lens or an extra light?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Robert. That's a good question, because I did another shoot a month later for them, and I took completely different gear. And so it really depends on the type of assignment it is. In this assignment, I knew it was an environmental portrait. We're going to mostly shoot it outside. And, you know, outside Oklahoma, you can't, you know, as you're well aware, you can't be taking these big giant umbrellas, especially if you're a one-man show. They're going to end up in the next county, you know, or in Kansas. So good shot. Good. So, yeah, I took a real minimal light gear, and I ended up not using any light, really. I think I use a flash on my camera one a little bit, but that was it. Even though I took a little bit of lighting gear, I didn't use any of it. And I knew that it was going to be a lot of outdoor stuff, and I wanted to get some background and do some background blurring, but not too much. I want to be able to include the background. So I took a 200 f2 lens, which is really helpful. I usually don't take that a lot, but it's really nice for these outdoor portraits to, you know, separate your subject and make them pop.
Yeah, I wouldn't brag my 200 f2 had the 500 1.0. I didn't want to blow out the background too much, so I brought the 2.0 200 millimeter. Okay, good. I love it that he could talk gear to us, and he just slides it in there so simple. He doesn't say, hey, I took my 400 5.6. No, I took my 200 f2.
F2, yeah. That's the money lens right there.
Oh, it's expensive. It's fabulous.
Oh, yeah, it's an expensive lens. And when I bought it, I was going, man, I wanted to buy. I thought, you know, I've had 2.8s for years. I'm a 7200 2.8s, and that's just like everybody has that lens. Nobody has a 200 f2, right? Not very many people have that lens. Well, your editors, they're always, they look at my photos going, well, what has, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about that photo. Yeah, because I got a really kick-ass lens that nobody else has.
And now the truth on how James stay ahead of the editorial photographer's curve.
There you go.
200 f2.
200, yeah, that's a money lens, man.
Yeah, how often do we talk about, you know, it doesn't matter the camera, it doesn't matter the gear. You know, no one's going to notice but another photographer, but it's just funny in that situation that there's something
sometimes
different.
Sometimes it does.
You know, it's sometimes
yeah, they don't matter. They don't even know what gear I use, but there's something a little different with that shot, you know, that they don't want to see every day.
So and you're shooting, at F2.
Well, wide sometimes. Open.
Yeah.
Sometimes I, yeah. I mean, if you're not, then why do you have a lens?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But not always, you know. Yeah, not always. So sometimes. But I took it and then I use it. But. So anyway, so when I got there, the first thing, you know, how many often do you have clients tell you how to take photos, right? They tell you what the setting is. They tell you what the background's going to be, where they want the photo shot. That's often happens, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, this is the better angle. Get it from this angle here.
Or we thought we'd shoot at here. Like, when I got there, they said, well, I think we're shooting in front of our house because that's, you know, our house. We've been there for a long time.
Okay, so we are going to stop the audio here, and because this is the portion where James starts sharing his screen, and so we figured we would tell you to go to the YouTube channel. Video link is in the show notes, so go do that on YouTube. You can see his screen, and we'll continue the audio.
So what I want to show you is when I first got there, Let me share my screen. There we go. Desktop one. Move this out of the way. We'll pop this in front. Can you see this?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So when I first got there, this is, you know, you always want to be nice to your client. And so, you know, there's their idea. They want to shoot in front of their house. I said, okay, but, you know, I'm thinking in my head, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, this ain't going to work. So anyway, I did that. You know, got a few shots there just to make them happy, you know. They're real nice people. And then I said, what do you got around here to shoot at? And he told me about his antique tractor he had. So we went out there. The antique tractor is in a, you know, a dark barn with bright sunlight shining in. So he wanted to shoot with that. I go, yeah, that's a great idea. An antique tractor would be great.
Yeah.
But then I had this issue with, you know, you got really dark inside there. I got light inside. I got to either figure out some way to light it up or do something different. So I just, I hit him, and he's got cerebral palsy. So he has a really hard time. He can barely walk, and he's in his 80s, and his hands don't work so good, but he can get in his tractor. And so he drove his gator up by it, crawled up in the tractor, and he can certainly drive his tractor. And so I thought, well, I got this great lighting coming in from the outside. So I thought I'd get a shot of him. You know, obviously much better lighting, right?
Yeah.
The light streaming in with him getting ready with his tractor. So I thought I'd get a few shots doing that while he's getting the tractor out so I can get the photos. And so, yeah, he's getting his tractor ready. And I had him stop and smile at me for a minute. And then we go outside. And I knew this lighting was great, and so I was kind of planning to use it later. And so I had him take the tractor out. And, you know, this is kind of my shot I had in my head. Is with his tractor out on the middle of a farm road. I had him pull it up there, and I crawled up in the back of that gator so I'd get high and look down on him a little bit. Of course, you'd see the tractor's dirty because it's been sitting in the deal. And when I first took that, I didn't like this so much. I wanted the vanishing part of the background going in.
Yeah.
But that road. But I didn't really care for it as much because he's kind of disappearing there. And he is the subject of the photo, not the tractor itself, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I tried a few of these, but I wasn't real happy with them. Then I got off of the gator and went down lower. I thought, oh, this is much better because he is more pronounced and highlighted against the sky. And I'm trying to shoot vertical, so I got to get a cover in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying that, but it was, you know, the problem is the perspective, the way it's going is that he's, the tractor is more prominent than he is, and he's really the subject of the photo.
Right. So are these shot with your 200?
I do not remember.
I doubt it.
No, I don't think so.
It's not compressed. I mean, it looks.
No, I think it's, yeah, because I was just shooting more depth of field because I knew I needed to get the tractor in also.
Okay.
So I'll tell you, let's switch over. Let me show you the cover shot ended up being is this one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, I like the background, repeating lines and then the circle of the wheel.
Yeah, so we're going to go back to this in a minute. And this was the opening double page spread is here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you can see I ended up getting that, using that photo. And so even though I was trying to work through this photo and try to get something I wanted, I was having a hard time getting. Well, so I got him up in the sky a little better, and still got the road in the background disappearing. But he is. You can see now the tractor is a little more out of focus.
Yeah, but that is the 200 there, focus. I bet. Because that's more compressed.
Does look 200 because the tractor is really compressed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's soft.
And so getting him in focus and that tractor's a little more out of focus.
I got to say, I got to give it to him for having that nice chrome stack on that thing. That's pretty sexy.
You'll also see I cleaned his tractor from this. I'll go back. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. From this photo, you see how dirty it was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I grabbed a rag and we wiped that thing all down because you can see it's much cleaner here.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I wiped this tractor down. So it looked a little better. And so let me find a photo. I'm still shooting vertical here. And so I kept working this, trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. You know, we'll get a cover shot. I'm still not happy with the, you know, everything's is still in focus here. And so I'm still trying to figure out how to get him more in the in the shot, make him more prominent. Because the story, right. again, the story's about him, not his tractor.
And this is kind of like what you do, is working through the different angles of your subject, looking for that great cover shot.
Yeah, you're trying to think through the process of how do I get this cover shot, and how do I get this, how do I get, and not, and I don't necessarily know what the cover's going to be. I just submit the images and they pick them. But mm-hmm. I want to give my editor a lot of options they can choose from. And so that's what I'm trying to figure out, is some different options, both vertical for the cover and horizontal for some opening page spreads or other parts of the story. And so, you know, this is starting to look like maybe a cover. I got room for the text up at the top and things like that. He's got a nice smile on his face. And so I kept working this tractor because I knew the tractor was really a good shot. So I kept working that tractor quite a bit, better than anything else around there. And I think, this is not quite the, I think that's the one.
Yeah.
This is the one that ended up going on the cover. I mean, on the cover on the opening page spread. You'll notice I shot it horizontal versus vertical. And that's what they ended up cropping it to, more of a square format.
Right.
So that's a photo. Oops, sorry. And so, you know, kept working that. And eventually you got to kind of give up. You got to say, okay, I need to move on to something else because I can't, you can only work often. Yeah.
That last one that was the horizontal, that's a nice tight pop. I love that.
Yeah, that's good. And so I kept working, you know, you should work, but eventually you just got to give up and move on.
Yeah, those are good.
You know, yeah, I've got enough of these. I got to try something else. So that's where I've been going here. I thought, well, I'll try something back here from the back and see how that would work. And actually, those were used. That photo was used there.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, I love that. It's like a double column strip type thing.
Yeah. So it's that photo is used right there in this part of the story. And, you know, I could keep working that tractor, but I thought I had worked it enough. You can work it to death, and you got to, at some point you got to quit and give your editor some other shots.
Do they edit the photos at all, or do you give them the final? Do you give them the final edit, or do they edit them at all?
Usually with this different clients, I do different things. Usually with this client, I will do my edits, just the basic edits, you know, just standard stuff, and I send it to them in JPEG format, and they'll pick the finals. And if they're really good JPEG quality, they'll just use the JPEG. But if it's like if there's a lot of dark colors that be some issues with printing, they'll ask me, and I'll send them either an NEF file, or I'll send them a TIFF file that they can do a little more manipulation with. It's also compressed with JPEG.
Yeah.
So usually they just use the JPEGs and I do the editing, but if there's something I needed, something special they need, I'll just send them the originals or a TIFF file with the edits they like. And so, but every client's did a little bit different. So again, I'm working this angle, you know, trying to get him to smile, get some different looks out of it. I worked this angle a little bit. This angle was not used, but just something a little different for the editor if they wanted to use it. Because so then we got done with the tractor. I need to get something else, need to move on. You know, can't spend all day doing the same thing. You can only work the tractor so much. So he was putting the tractor back in the shed. I thought, well, I'll get a little action item photos of him working the, you know, putting things up. And so we're looking at all the photos here as he backed the tractor back inside. And so I'll just go through these pretty quick. Are these showing up fine?
They look great.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So he's putting the tractor back inside. And, of course, it's real dark in there. And so, but I love this. I knew I loved the lighting, so I had him set there after we got done. You know, these are a little bit out of focus. Cover? Yeah, I was trying to think if this is the cover.
It looks
not the cover.
Yeah, he's
that's
looking.
Not the cover.
Yeah, he's looking
close
down. Yeah, but
you
but know,
the lighting was great and a clean background. I knew this is a really good shot, so that's why I wanted to. That's why I went back to that same setting because I knew it was good to start with.
It reminds me, the lighting reminds me of the concept of doing portraits or pictures in the garage and have the door open and you have all that natural light come in.
That's exactly what we had. It's like a big old softbox right there.
Right.
Just coming in from the side.
Yeah.
And then he's got a little bit of bounce back coming in from the other side. So, yeah. And that was
I like the repeating elements in the background.
Well,
contrast with the steering wheel. Like, that's crazy.
I was told a long time ago by a Sports Illustrated editor. He said, I got a lot of people that can take sports photography, but very few of them think about the background. He said, the really, really good ones think about the background, not just the action. He said, you got to position yourself and think about that background, because I need good, clean background without a lot of distraction. Yeah. And so that's kind of what you're doing here. You're trying to undo that was a nice, clean background without a lot of crap back there. And so, yeah, that's what it ended up being. And then, you're out of focus, so the steering wheel's out of focus. He's in focus.
Yeah, I know that's a tin building, but it looks like pipes, I wondered what that was when you had texted me that yesterday. It's those old
Quonset huts, yeah.
Yeah.
So then we go on through, and, I got a few of those, and, just keep working at these. I get a little bit – since I shoot so wide open, it was dark in there. I was getting some movement. So be careful. Then he had this old gas pump. So, I'm out at this farm, and you're trying to think of things that are – they're unique or unusual, or they're like, you can get a clean background on. So I had him go to the. I saw this old gas pump, and I'm thinking, that gas pump's pretty cool. It's kind of a neat deal.
Yeah.
And so I had him go over and stand by it, and I thought I'd get just a portrait there. I didn't like this one. I didn't really care for the grain elevator in the background, but this is stark. And he also had his hat on here, and he's a. The hat's important because he's a member of this electric co-op, and this is a co-op magazine. And so I had started with the hat. He stood there, and I kept working it, kept working the photos there. I'm trying to figure out how to get this grain elevator out of my shot. Mm. Or like that. And so I decided to get a little closer to him, see if I can get some photos. And then I had him remove the hat, and I changed my angle to get this elevator out of the photo, so I got a cleaner shot with him. So moved over a little bit. Now you can see it's gone completely, that elevator is, just by me changing my position. I got him without a hat just for a different, and the hat's important to the story, but I needed a different look, mm-hmm. just something a little different, not the same thing every time.
And I remember when you used to, you've always said, with your stuff, obviously you're telling a story. So you're finding different elements to add to the story that you're trying to tell.
Yeah, help portray that story.
Yeah.
I think this was the one that was using this piece right here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, it's not. That's not the same one, but one of those is. Maybe this one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got the elevator in the back there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one they chose there. Of course, he's squinting with the sun, but, it worked. I think I used some fill flash here because he was in the right in that sun.
Yeah, I thought I saw that earlier when on his face a little, maybe in his glasses or whatever.
And his hands are really wrinkled, and he's got that cerebral palsy, so his hands don't work so good. So I really wanted to get a tight shot of his hands.
Right.
And so they ended up not using those, but I thought they were pretty cool.
Yeah. Again, it tells a story.
I thought they helped so tell a story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then finally at the end, I wanted to get when I drove to his house, it was right down the street, there was this wheat field, which is nice, clean background. Mm. And he likes to drive his gator. That's part of the story.
Yeah.
He drives his gator everywhere because he has to use a walker to watch you walk. So he uses this gator to get around in. So I thought, I'll get a picture of him with the gator. So I had him drive down there with his significant other.
Yeah.
He got a few pictures. I wanted that bluff in the background because I thought that bluff was pretty cool. Added to the kind of give a context of where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
So I had him stand there doing this. And then I had him, when I got done there, I like that photo a lot.
Yeah, that's cool.
When I got done, I had his dog, and called his dogs over. Get some pictures with them. And I didn't edit any of those because that's why they're dark. But then I had him get his significant other in there. And that's the one, I think that's the photo that was used. Let me back up. They did use this photo. I forgot about that. They used this photo.
Saw
put
that.
The tractor in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this photo, they used one of these. I guess not that one, but one of those they used for this part of the story.
Yeah.
I guess this one. Yeah. This photo. So, and we're about that's just about that. That's pretty well the end of the photo shoot. Huh. So let's go. Let me stop my screen sharing. How do I do that? Let's see. How do I stop screen?
Go sharing? To this where it says the share Zoom screen. App. Yeah, go to the Zoom app and then hit the share screen. It's on the bottom. Oh, okay.
Okay, stop share. Found it. There we go. Cool.
Hey, he's back.
There you are.
There we are. So that's kind of anatomy of the shoot. And then I send those to the editors, and they pick what they like. And I never know, and I can never even guess. I kind of know when I have a good cover, I think, but sometimes I'm not right. Often I know, but not always. And so that's how it ends up happening. So.
Well, that's pretty awesome. So what's the time limit that do you allocate a certain time, or do you just let it flow based on what you're shooting?
You know, it really depends on the assignment. If you're shooting like a politician or something, which I do often, I mean, you may have 5 minutes, literally.
Right.
But that, you know, you got to get a view, and your editor wants five different looks. So how do you do that in 5 minutes?
Oh, you're fast.
And you got to get the way you do that, I've done that many times, is you set up everything. That's when you bring all your lights. And you set up all your shooting stations, and you have an assistant. You always bring an assistant. You have them stand in for the person. You do all your test shots. You take a post-it note, and you write the settings for your camera and your lights. You stick it on every place you shoot. And then when the talent shows up, you say, stand here, click, 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 move over here. You change your settings, click, 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 move over here, change your settings, click, click, click. And, you know, 5 minutes are done. They love you. The politician loves you, or the basketball player or whoever it might be, they love you because you don't keep them there very long.
Yeah. So
your editor loves you because you got a lot of different settings.
So when they say they want like five different looks, that doesn't mean five different angles.
They don't say that. Don't say that, but I know that.
Right. So, yeah. So you don't want it to be five different angles of their head. You want it to be different, complete scenes, different scenes and stuff. Yeah.
That's, exactly.
Yeah, you do, obviously, you know, like when I do headshots, you set it up and you do some tests, have somebody come stand in. But that's smart to do that in advance, you know, those different scenes, whether it's down the hall or whatever.
You know, one time I had to shoot a politician in his office down in Norman, and it was a really not that big of office, and I needed five different looks. And, you know, I can't haul 10 different lighting gear around, right, because it's just in an office. So what I did is I set a light in the center on a kind of a with an umbrella up top.
Oh yeah.
I had one more light, and then I just turned the light around the office. I had him stand in front of a window, I had him set at his desk, I had him set in front of an American flag, three or four things, you know, I had him take his tie off or take his jacket off. And so I would move. We'd never move the main light. We just moved him around the office and got, you know, five different looks in about 5 minutes.
Wow, that's cool.
Awesome. Just find a pivot point for the light and move him around.
Right, move him around and, you know, put your post-it notes everywhere you need the lighting because it's all a little bit different, you know.
Hmm. Oh, that's awesome. So did we talk about what your basic kit is? I mean, I don't want to get too much into all the gear and nonsense, but I'm sure somebody on Facebook or one of our listeners is going to ask, like, well, what kind of stuff? Because we start off mentioning the 200 F2, which is a very expensive piece of glass. So
I have two basic kits I use, basic lighting kits. And my gear, photo gear, my camera gear, I have basically two different camera gear I take and two lighting kits. And they're all boxed up, ready to go at a moment's notice. And part of it is because of, with the camera gear, it's partially because of portability. Because if you're doing, running, you know, if I'm going out riding a horse all day, taking photos of a cattle drive is a lot different than carrying around, you don't carry a 200 F2 on a cattle drive. It don't work that way. And so, so I have a really lightweight kit that's a Sony A7R with some really lightweight Sony lenses.
Okay.
And that's my gear when I take out for motorcycle shoots or for anything I need to be really light, really quick, really portable. And I'm not a huge fan of the Sony, but it's nice. I mean, it's a good system, and I like the full frame capabilities. I shoot a lot of wide angle stuff, and so full frame is really important because I can really get the wide angle pretty easy. That's really the main reason.
What's your choice of lights that you're using for that kind of stuff?
Often with the Sony, I don't take lights. Okay. I just don't do it. Yeah. If I'm going to take lights, I'm going to take my Nikon gear. If I'm going to have to carry lights, I'm going to take my Nikon gear. And so, the Sony, it's usually just whatever I have there. And, it's usually a little bitty Sony camera, two little bitty lenses, and a little pack about this big, and that's what I'm carrying. Anything else I'm going to take, I have two setups with my Nikon gear. I have a full kit that has like D3S and a 800, D800. And I carry I'm not a big fan of the 70-200. I don't like that lens very well. The 70-200-28. I just never have been a big fan of that lens. I mean, they're great lenses, but they're just, I don't know, everybody has one. It's real common.
You want a different look.
I usually like to shoot.
Yeah. Huh? You want that different look.
Yeah, I want a little bit different look. So I shoot primes a lot. I prefer to shoot primes if at all possible. But I do have to have one because when I'm out in a real dusty, dirty condition, you can't be changing lenses all the time.
Yeah.
And so I have a 7200. I have a 24-70-28. And I use them, but I prefer to shoot primes if at all possible.
You know, I still have that 85-18. Nikon you sold me years ago.
Oh yeah.
And actually I've got my Nikon gear up for sale. I don't know if you saw.
Oh that. Yeah. My favorite lens is my 85-14.
Oh yeah.
By far. Yeah, I love that lens. And so I have my Nikon kit, it's fully rigged out. I usually carry the D300S. I carry the D800, and I have all my lenses, pretty well all my lenses. And then I'll grab whatever other bigger lenses I need as I go. And then I also have a smaller kit that has my DF, my Nikon DF, the old retro looking Nikon. I'll throw usually carry it with just a 51-4 and a 24 and maybe one long, a little bit. I have an old, real old Nikon, 180, F2, I believe it is, or 1.8. Are you afraid of that lens, Robert?
Yeah, is that the defocus one? The 1.8 is F2 DF that has a defocus.
It's not No, it doesn't have a defocus. It's just a real simple. It's a real simple, pretty small lens, but it's really cool.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, I had that one, and I'll carry that when I need to. That's a smaller kit, smaller lens. When I need to go smaller, but I still want my Nikon gear. So I have that kit. And then lighting gear, I have two sets of lighting gear. I have one rigged out Nikon speed lights that has, I have two stands, two umbrellas. I have some triggers, I've got everything, but it's fairly small. I actually have a gun case, AR-15 gun case is what I use to carry that stuff in. So I throw that and a small tripod. And you'll have to watch out when I go like to the Air Force Base or something. They go, hey, that guy's carrying a gun.
Yeah.
No, it's just my lighting gear. But and so I take that and a smaller, you often take the DF on it. And then for my bigger gear, I have a roller pack that has I have Einstein equipment. And I kind of like to upgrade from that, but right now that's what I'm using is the Einstein with some triggers. And one lesson I've learned that gets pounded in my head, I have multiple triggers, multiple types of ways to trigger my lights. Never depend on one, not only one trigger, but one brand of triggers. Mm. I always have more than one way of triggering my lights.
Yeah, I keep a set of cyber.
I can't tell you.
I keep a set in my car, the cyber syncs. Those things are like reliable. But
I have cyber syncs. I have cables. I have the things you plug in to trigger off of just a light sync.
Mm-hmm. Right, the old slaves. Well, peanuts.
I have multiple ways of triggering my lights because I can't tell you how often I've gone on site and I've got my pocket wizard or I've got my cyber syncs, and for whatever freaking reason, they don't work. Mm-hmm. And so sitting there and screwing around with them, trying to figure them out, you got talent all standing around watching you.
Yeah.
Basically, you got to punt and go somewhere else, right?
Right, yes. Right.
And so I have done that many times. I always have multiple, you know, worst case, I pull out a damn cord and hook it into my camera and trigger it that way, you know?
Yeah, I did that one time with doing some family portraits. It was a charity event, and there was a line of families waiting, and my trigger was fouling out, and so I luckily had a trigger, a second trigger, so...
Yeah, I carry like three or four.
Yeah.
Three or four hits to trigger my lines.
Well, we're talking about this trigger stuff, so you've done a lot of editorial work for OK Living magazine.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Also, you had your own magazine at one time.
Yeah, several of them. I've had two of them, right?
Well, you had the racing one. What was the other one?
I had Ride Oklahoma, and then I had a national magazine I published called Adventure Rider Magazine.
Oh, I thought that was the same thing. I thought it was the same.
No, two different ones.
Okay. So with all of that stuff that you've shot, and you've also been the editor for other photographers, give us like, you know, worst case scenario you've been into. What place did you do that nothing worked, and how did you overcome that?
I don't know. I mean, I've always been able to get the shot. You have to get the shot or you're not going to get paid. So I've had some really hard assignments, but I've never had anything that nothing work, because I'd find a way to work, make it work one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
You
well, know, then give us like, how about your hardest assignment then? Let's take that one.
Well, I've done so many. I'd have to think on, and you should ask me that question ahead of time. I'm trying to think.
Well, if I tell you ahead of time, you'll be ready for the show and it won't be. Yeah.
I don't know, Robert. I can't think off the top of my head on that.
Oh, come on. Like, you didn't ride your motorcycle all the way to Tierra?
Well, I tell you, one really was a fun assignment, but it was really difficult.
And if you mentioned taking that Indian motorcycle cross country, I'm going to stop
you. I tell you, a really difficult one I had is we rode dirt bikes, spent a week riding dirt bikes from Canada to Mexico along the Continental Divide, and dirt roads and trails. And I was, there was about 20 people on this trip, and I was the photographer's a story. And so what I had to do was I would have to have all my gear. I had camping gear because we're camping. The camping gear on my motorcycle, or kind of bare bones motor. I had to have Nikon gear because they didn't have a Sony back then, didn't have a small gear. So I carried my Nikon gear, and I would, and it sounds like a glamorous trip. Sounds like so much fun, right? You're riding motorcycles across the Rocky Mountains, you know, the crest of the Rockies.
Sounds
wonderful. It was freaking hard work, man. I get up in the morning for everybody else, get all my gear prepped. So I had to photograph them getting ready, right? So they would be fixing breakfast and taking, you know, loading up the gear, doing maintenance on bikes. So I had to photograph all that. So I had to get up real early and get whatever I was going to. If I was going to eat breakfast, it had to be early. If I was going to get a shower, it had to be early, get all my stuff done, and be ready whenever they would start doing their stuff. So I'd photograph doing all that. Then I'd jump on my bike, take off, be ahead of them, and I'd find a really cool place. I'd sit down, I'd get all set, and I'd have to photograph them riding by, right? So they were in this epic place, we're riding by. So they're riding, all these guys riding past me. They'd load up all my gear, jump on my bike, and I had to pass everybody. So I'm on a dirt bike, and I got to run 80, 90 miles an hour on dirt roads and trails on my dirt bike with all my gear, passing these guys that are hauling ass. And I had to get in front of them. So I'd go find another place, stop, throw off all my gear, jump down, get a place, and crawl up a mountain or wherever and take more shots. So they'd all go past me again, you know, jump on, take off, do it again. And I was riding like the wild man. I was hauling. And then we get to lunch. Of course, I got to sit down and take a photograph of all them eating lunch, you know. And so, you know, I'd cram in my lunch, take photographs of them eating lunch, doing whatever they're doing, jump on the bike, head off. They'd pass me again, do the same thing. Then we finally get to the campground at the end of the evening. And, of course, I'm exhausted. They're tired. They get to sit around, drink beer. I got to photograph them doing all their stuff. But late in the evening, I'd have to set up my tent, and then I would have to set up my tent. I'd have to clean my gear and charge all my batteries, do all that stuff while they're all sitting around drinking whiskey or beer and talking stories. I'm busy working my ass off. And finally, I'd get into bed late at night, you know, sleeping in my tent, get up next morning, do it all again. I did that for a week. Wow. It sounded really fun, but it was really, really hard work.
So when you were talking about that, getting the guys, I mean, you're obviously on a trail, so they're going to follow that trail.
Right.
But I'm just sitting
there. I knew the trail. Yeah, we had a signed trail we're following.
You had a signed trail, but I can see where I would probably do that and say, man, I'm way ahead. I'd sit down, you know, maybe get something to drink, wait for them to pass by. And like 3 hours goes by, like, oh, these guys took a side trail that I
can't. No, we're all on GPS. We had GPS spot. Yeah, I knew where the trail was going to be. We had a GPS track.
Okay.
It was an organized deal. So, yeah, I pretty well knew where they were going to be. Not to mention, I'd ride my butt off. It was hard to get ahead of those guys. They were not sitting around dilly-dallying. You know, they weren't just putting along. It was.
So you guys had different checkpoints to try and make this trail in 7 days or 5 days.
Right, right.
So you
had different places. Right, they had camp spots every night, lined out, you know, all that stuff. So.
Now, did you cross over a lot of highways? Because it seems like.
Not a lot.
Highways you would cross over on that.
You'd do some, but not a ton, not a lot. It's pretty remote. I mean, especially up in Montana and Wyoming, it's pretty remote. I mean, we did ride through Yellowstone Park. That was kind of cool, but around the edge of it, actually not in it, but around the park. But, it, you know, you get out in southern Wyoming, it's pretty empty.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing out there but sky.
So that was a really... sounded glamorous, but it was just hard-ass work, you know.
Now, did that get published in Adventure Rider?
It got published in I did a story in Adventure Rider, but it also got published in a national magazine, another magazine about mine. I've actually sold that story several times.
Cool. And you wrote it?
I wrote one story, but I sold the photos several times.
Yeah.
You know, my story got published once, and I sold the photos for other stories several times.
So let's go ahead and wrap up a little bit. So James, let everybody know where we can check your stuff out and get to know you better online.
Yes, I have a website, personal website, james-pratt.com. And it's my site, not only for my photography, but for my writing and for my IT work. And so it's everything in there. You have to go dig for the photos, but it's not too hard to find.
Do you blog?
I blog a lot. Yeah, I blog quite a bit. Okay. I do a lot of blogging on computer stuff and on stories and, yeah, all kinds of things, yeah.
That's cool.
It's on my website.
Well, I have to ask. I've always wanted to ask this question, and he brought it up when he said the dash. So why did you pick james-pratt.com?
Well, somebody else had james-pratt.com.
Because I figured that was it.
The reason I'm saying is when the whole internet started – so my company used to be Midnight Photo. So that's what I called it. Cause in the military, I would do a lot of my work at night after regular duty hours.
Yeah.
And of course, when the internet started, you know, past the days of CompUSA and AOL, it was time to get a website, and Midnight Photo was taken. You know, I went to go Google it, and it's like, okay, well, I wasn't Google back then, but it was Yahoo. And I went to, well, that was taken, so I had to pick something else. So a friend of mine told me, so we just hyphenated it, do midnight-photo.com. I'm like, oh, that's available. So I bought
it. Yeah.
And I went to these conversations with families, but I'd be happy to take that, blah, blah, get in my website, check my workout, and they would never take my call again.
Yeah.
It was the craziest thing. And Midnight Photo was a gay porn site in San Francisco. Yeah. So after that, I told people, dude, if you have to hyphenate, don't do it.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a funny story.
But you do have James Pratt on Instagram, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember why. I don't even do a lot of Instagram. But.
Well, if you're a new listener, James has been on the show several times in the past. And so go search our website for his episodes. And maybe Robert can put the links in there in the show notes to his episodes. Maybe
I'll do that.
I'll look for them and help you. So anyway, you're
gonna help me. Okay, good, good.
Well, James,
yeah, I think James Pratt has the honor of being the most interviewed guest on our podcast.
You ever. Think so?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's a running between you and Don Hamilton. I think you have it down because. We've missed Don the last few shows.
And Alex.
We're going to get him at PhotoCon and Photo Expo.
I listen to you a lot. So.
Yeah.
Well, I regularly appreciate it. We're still trying to come up with a name for our listeners. We can't come up with a good name. I had one, but it was kind of foul, so we opted not to eat
yeah, that one.
Foul was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could use sprockets if it was a motorcycle thing, but, you know.
I thought you were going to change the name to your podcast of Fuji Fanboys.
Oh, Fuji. that's in the works.
Yeah.
That'll be a new spinoff of Adventure Rider. It'd be Adventure Rider.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, James. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thanks.
Definitely open our eyes a little bit more to editorial photography. Be sure to follow James on his blogs, his Instagram, and hit him up on Facebook and drive the craziness out of him.
Right.
If you're looking to lose weight, follow that guy.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, that's for sure. He's a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. He started off the podcast by saying that he ran. What did you run, 6 miles?
This morning, and bicycle 10 miles, yeah, which is a pretty light day, really. my preference is to do – I really like – my favorite thing to do is a Saturday morning, get up and go do a half – I had a 70.2 triathlon with the 70.2 miles.
That's his favorite thing to do.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, just probably like 2 months ago, I did like a 25-mile run on my motorcycle, and it was brutal. All right, well, go ahead and take us out of here, Jim.
All right.
Thank you so much, James, for being here. We really appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
This podcast was recorded on the Rodecaster Pro, the world's first fully integrated podcast production console. With 4 mic channels, 8 sound pads for triggering effects and music, the ability to bring in phone and Skype calls, and powerful onboard audio processing. It's the perfect solution whether you're just getting into podcasting or you're a seasoned pro.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find Jim at jimfelder.com and Robert at treywickimages.com. Send us an email at twins@photofaxpodcast.com or voicemail at 405-585-6337.
Check out our YouTube PhotoFax channel for weekly tips and tricks. Visit our Facebook page for news and discussion. Please help others find this podcast by reviewing us on iTunes. We really appreciate your support.